Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Down tonight here in the basement, Craig. I've just finished watching the Commissioner of Baseball, Rob, I can't get out of my own way, Manfred, go on MLB Network and get a very softball interview done with him with Tom Verducci. Now, I like Tom Verducci, but those are some pretty basic questions that he could have known were coming if he just opened up his Twitter account for 5 minutes before he went on there. So I want your take on this because I'm curious. You get the Marlins. They get a little bit of an outbreak. They play a game. Now all of a sudden there's more guys that test positive. They shut down them. They shut down, I believe it's the Phillies that were playing them this weekend. They're taking a couple days off. They got everybody quarantined and they're like, we're going to take a few days. We're going to do some testing. We're going to move on. The amount of hack journalists who are the same people that sat around and said, I can't wait for baseball to come back. And Major League Baseball needs to get a deal on the table. And the players in baseball have to find a way to make this work. There's absolutely no way that there won't be a season when they used to need baseball. Because without baseball, nobody would be reading their stuff. Nobody would be listening to them. They needed it to keep their jobs. These are the same people now that are out there screaming, shut it all down right now. Panic, panic, panic. The house is on fire. Run. And I am so disgusted over the last 24 hours. Watching people, I'm going to tell you something. I like Ken Rosenthal. I think Jason Stark seems like he's a pretty intelligent guy. But those two guys and some of the other people out in the press right now are just basically dancing around like a fire pit, chanting for the death of Major League Baseball this year so they can say, I told you so. And I'm sick of watching journalists, and I use that word loosely based upon the way that they are acting, root for a disaster so they can say, I told you so. That's not what their job really should be. And it's annoying to me to watch this entire thing. What do you think? Do you really think we should be shutting down baseball because a team had a little bit of an outbreak?
No, I don't think that baseball should be shut down at this point in time. I think that, number one, the Marlins organization needs to be punished in some way, shape, or form. I don't know whether it would be because they basically held, they did a Zoom or they did a Twitter feed or they did a text message.
They got on an old MySpace page and they exchanged notes. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, pretty much it looks like is what happened with them is, you know, so there's stuff with them that, I mean, there was a protocol and it wasn't the greatest protocol because we realized that they argued over money for two, three, 4 months, it seemed like an eternity, and then slapped together some sort of, you know, here we go type of thing, and people didn't follow it.
As far as I'm concerned, if you can't feel the team, forfeit the games.
Yeah.
That's how I feel this should be. If you can't feel the team, forfeit the games, and then we just move on. And that'll make people follow the protocol because they don't want to forfeit games. Because guess what's going to happen here, Craig? In the last 2 weeks of the season, teams that are out of it, all of a sudden they're not going to even want to play. They get an outbreak like, if the Marlins get an outbreak like this, with 2 weeks to go, and they're eliminated from the postseason, they won't even come out and play their final games anyway.
Yeah.
I believe you are going to see games that are won by forfeit, and I also want to say that if you're going to have a 20-person player pool sitting at an alternate site, separated from your 40-man, or I'm sorry, in reality, what is it? It's 30 men they're carrying.
Yes.
And then they have up to another 30 they can keep someplace else in their player pool. So you have a whole other team sitting there. There's a reason Major League Baseball did this. It wasn't so you could develop your first-round draft pick. It was in case something like this happened so you could replace players and go out and play. because it was inevitable. It was inevitable that somebody was going to get sick. It was inevitable that a team was going to have dozens, like a dozen positive tests. That was inevitable. We all knew this was coming. And the players knew it was coming because otherwise they wouldn't be playing. They all had the opportunity to opt out. They all had the opportunity to walk away and take a break. Some of them did it. The rest wanted to play. I don't want to hear anybody crying about this because you're supposed to be an adult. The rest of us have been living with this ever since March. We're all adults in the real world. Some of us have lost our jobs. Some of us have lost our livelihoods. Some of us have been impacted so badly by this. Some people have lost loved ones. Some people haven't hugged their mother in 6 months because she's at risk and she's locked in a nursing home. We are all adults dealing with this pandemic. These guys all knew the score when they started. I don't blame Major League Baseball for this. This is something that was inevitable, and there's already, the Marlins just have to bring in some new players. Test, weed out the guys that are sick, send them to a hotel for the next 14 days, bring in the other guys, play the games, and let's go.
Yeah, and I saw that the Marlins made, I think it was like two or three transactions like following this. So they're going along the lines of what you're thinking, Chris, which was, why do you have those 30 guys out there? And like you said, a lot of teams probably said, oh, you know what, let's just bring in this guy because we just drafted him and we need to develop him. We need to put him out there. They didn't treat this, and a lot of Major League Baseball teams, I think most of them didn't treat this as these are guys that would have to possibly step up if something like this happened. I felt like they treated this as this is our like little like pony show over here. Look at the bird, and follow this instead of realizing that, no, we were telling you guys, you probably should have kept some of those guys that you were dropping towards, you know, the beginning of the season that were, you know, maybe not going to make your major league roster, but would have ended up in AAA and been the depth pieces. They just basically dropped those guys and made this as almost like a fill-in. And I wrote about this, and I was saying that people are saying, like, you know, if this guy doesn't work out in, you know, relief, we can probably bring this guy in. And I'm like, most of the guys that we have sitting down there in Altoona, pitching-wise, have not pitched above double A.
Yeah, but here's the point. They can always change their player pool. It's something that people haven't caught on to yet. Technically, in the rules, when you read it, you can adjust your player pool. So if the Pirates had an outbreak and they had 10 guys get sick, let's say, and they've got to put them all in a hotel on the road, just like what happened with Miami. Let's say that happens to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, during this period, when they're getting the list of guys that are testing positive, well, now they're making moves. You're not off the team if you're removed from the player pool, but that guy that you were developing, who's a draft pick that really isn't making it to the majors for a few years, he's going to get out of the player pool. This is what happens. Your guy now can't work out with your organization. He's still owned by your organization, but he's not going to play anywhere. And you're going to add guys that are either in your system that you know what they are and you need them to fill in, or you're going to be going knocking on the door of one of these like free agent pool things that are going on, these guys that are playing in the independent leagues, and sign them as free agents. We're already seeing that in the transaction list. Look at the MLB transaction list just over the first few days of the season. You're getting these retread guys that bounce between AAA and Major League Baseball getting signed to player pools by teams because yeah. They're going, okay, well, we worked out so-and-so. I've got extra room on my 40-man. I'm adding this guy right here. The only thing you have to be aware of is that 40-man rosters still count. So if 12 guys on your 40-man get sick, you have 28 players to choose from that you could put out there on the field.
But I think they made like an exception for guys if they have tested positive for COVID that they could sit on.
Oh, you could put them out. That's right. You could put them on the IL. You could put them on the IL for COVID. So now if you got 12, if the Marlins put 12 guys on the IL, they can add 12 guys that are 40-man roster now and then release the guy when the guy's better. So there are procedures in place, Craig. That's the point. Why are we trying to shut things down? Why is it that there's guys who just want this to fail so badly? What is your motivation for wanting this to fail? And you know, I'm going to say something here that's not going to be popular with people. This is not political in any way. This is actual data from the CDC. Old people die from this far worse than young people die from this. And yes, every once in a while, a young person dies. But the odds that these guys are playing with is that they're understanding that, hey, I want to play. I want to play and I feel okay. You have to let them play with that choice. Every one of those players had the option to opt out without any penalty to themselves. So if they don't want to play, they don't have to play. If they want to play, who are you to judge them if they want to go out and play? You make a decision that's good for you and your family, fine. Don't be making decisions for other people. They're not affecting you. It doesn't affect you sitting at home right now if the Pirates go and play baseball. How does it affect you? How does it make all of a sudden COVID worse than it is? They got a percentage testing rate like 0.4% right now are testing positive in Major League Baseball. It's minuscule. They're not hurting anybody by playing. I don't get the argument. I don't get why we don't want baseball. Okay? Unless it's politically motivated because you want to point out this is just the worst thing in the entire world. And this sucks, this whole thing, but why do we want to end baseball? Why are there people who are almost hoping this goes bad? I don't get it. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the fact these guys are adults who made a decision that they wanted to play. I got an uncle who's just convinced, like, oh, wait till the first player dies. What a horrible way to look at this. If they honestly believe that that was possible for themselves, they have the right to not play. So I don't get it. I don't get where the doom and the gloom and hoping for something bad to happen. That's what I've seen in the last 24 hours or so since the whole Marlins incident. And it annoys me. I'm sorry. I know that there's somebody right now going, oh, you're a horrible, heartless person, Chris. This is a terrible, I know it's a terrible disease. I know people are dying from this terrible disease. Okay. I also know that it's not like an 8% death rate anymore, like they originally thought. And it's not a death sentence. And people have to stop acting like it is. They're adults. They made a choice. They wanted to play.
Here's the thing is we knew this was going to happen. This is why the player pools were put into place. This is why there should have been more talk about the protocols beforehand. There's a lot of things that should have happened, and there's a lot of things that still could happen. But for the most part, like I said, I still harp back to the fact that the Marlins decided to play based on conversations between tweets or between text messages of the players.
Yeah, well, whatchamacallit, Manfred's trying to deny that happened. He's saying that they, even though they had their conversation, there were protocols used, and that they actually sat down and did some contact testing and decided there hadn't been enough exposure to not play the game. I don't know if you believe that or not, but that's at least the story coming out tonight. I don't know if that's true, though. I get what you're saying. It shouldn't have been left up to the players like, hey, we're going to go out and play.
No, and I mean, here's the thing is even my biggest thing is that he's trying to step on a grenade right now. He's trying to step on a landmine. There's no way around this. Like, either way, it would have been a lot easier to postpone one game. And then another thing I keep on seeing out there is it'd be a lot easier to have, you know, the Yankees have the Orioles in their schedule. Like, neither one of them were, you know, exposed to anything.
They should have just made made the adjustment and let them play each other the next 2 days.
The next 2 days.
It should have been a very quick. You guys are heading there. You're going to take the hotel rooms that such and such team already had. You're on your way to New York. You're going to go play those two games. That's what they should have done. And I don't think that they're figuring that out yet. I want to, before we move on to the Pirates, I do want to tell you about I love The Onion. You've seen The Onion before, right? It's the original satire thing. The Onion put out a thing just a little bit ago. It's a picture of a baseball diamond with a batter, a catcher, and a pitcher on the mound. And they're getting ready to throw the pitch. And over second base is a medical tent that looks like it's right out of the TV show MASH. And the headline reads, MLB announces players will now be quarantined for 14 days between bases. Brilliant.
They nailed it.
All right, so let's talk Pirates. Let's talk about what happened this weekend, a 1-2 start. We're sitting down recording right now. There's been a rain delay with Milwaukee because of storms going through Pittsburgh, so I don't know what the end result is going to be, so the Monday night result will happen after this show is done and out there. But your impressions of the first weekend, your impressions of the team, and do you really believe after they've added all these extra teams to the postseason the Pirates even have a chance?
Well, here's the thing I want to point out first is everybody's favorite, who will become their favorite at this point in time, Colin Moran just hit his second home run of the season.
Nice.
Leading the team because, you know, he sucks. And everybody says he sucks. And the only reason they say he sucks is because they want to bring the next guy up. Like, I love my buddy Bobby Nacho. We've had him on. He was originally working for 412 Brewery, now working for Couch Brewery. Yeah, I'm throwing out like little plugs and whatever.
Yeah,
for
start
anybody.
Charging these people for the plugs, Craig.
Yeah. So, but like he said before, and Like my my friend's nephew who has his own little podcast, he said, he goes, how do you replace 82 RBIs? Like, you know, he's actually a decent player. So that was what I want to say first, because guess what? Colin Moran's actually carrying this team. Jose Osuna's carrying this team. It's not the name brand guys that you were thinking. So from the first three games, there's a lot that I could break down. Number one, my boy Trevor Williams. Chris can see it. I'm wearing his Project 34 shirt right now. He was terrible. He was terrible in his start.
I love how you call him your boy, but he blocked you on Twitter. You buy a shirt, and then every time you bring him up, you're like, and he sucks. Because, stop trying to call him your. What's funny is that you are upset that he's mad at you. What you should do is just own it, dude. You point out that he sucks, and then he can't prove that you're wrong right now. I'm fine with that. Own that. Own it. If he gets good, I'll be like, Craig, you were a jerk about the whole thing. But right now, he should own it. He goes 3 2/3. He gives up, he gave up 3 earned runs. Did he give up some unearned runs in there? Is that why that happened the way that it did? No. No, he only goes 3 2/3, but he got himself into enough trouble, they pulled him out of the game.
And he threw 67 pitches and wasn't hit anything.
That's what it was. That's because he had 5 hits and a walk over 3 2/3. He struck out 3, but he gives up the 3 earned runs. So he's putting too many guys on the base paths, and he's throwing way too many pitches. That's a bad start. That's brutal.
No, it's a brutal start. And people are going to – and the other part is, like, people – like, I hate this right now. And that's where I'm getting into arguments with people on Twitter. And I know I shouldn't, Chris. I know I shouldn't.
Joe Musgrove.
Oh, Joe Musgrove, actually.
5 2/3 on opening day.
He looked really good, man. Even though he gave up 2 home runs. The one was muscled out. The one, it was kind of just caught right. For the most part, I feel like he had his stuff going. And here's the thing is, Joe Musgrove is one of those guys. Everybody's looking for him to be, since he was named the number one, and since they love him, and I like Joe Musgrove too, they're looking for him to be that ace. But you're never going to, like, he's not the ace. He's like a 2, a 3, or a 4. He's a solid pitcher. And what he did that night is exactly what you could expect from Joe Musgrove. He struck out a few guys. He struck out like 5. He had control of it. He left a couple hanging. They got hit out for solo home runs. He minimized the damage. And he gave up 3 runs in, what'd you say it was, 5 2/3? So it's like close to 6, close to a quality start, you know, the quote-unquote quality start. So he gave you exactly what Joe Musgrove is going to give you. Times he's going to be better. He may, you know, not give up any runs, or he might make it to 6.
He didn't lose the game for you. Let's just say
absolutely not.
He doesn't lose the game for you when you don't score your first runs until the 7th inning. He doesn't lose the game for you when, as you are still within a run in the bottom of the 8th, Rodriguez gives up 2.
Oh, God.
And you're still able to score 2 runs in the top of the 9th inning. Imagine if your relief pitcher would have done his job, maybe you have a chance in the game. You don't know how it's going to go. But he didn't cause that loss. He gave up a couple of runs, but here's the thing. If he completes the 6th inning and he has 6 full innings pitched instead of 5 2/3, that's a quality start. 3 runs, yeah. 3 earned runs or less over 6 innings, that's a quality start. It may not be a beautiful start. It may not be Max Scherzer on a beautiful August night going 9 and giving up 2 hits, but it's a quality start, and it's something which your team should at least have some life in him and do something while he's out on the mound. They don't start scoring runs until after he's sitting down having a cola. So I don't put that one on him. You get the blowout, you get the blowout game 2, the game 1 result. That's more on the offense and the relief staff than it is on your starting pitcher. But game 3, they finally win a game, and Mitch Keller is the guy who goes out and starts that game. If I would have told you that they were going to throw out your boy Williams, they were going to throw out Musgrove, and they were going to throw out Mitch Keller, they're only going to win 1 game, would you have told me it was the Keller start?
I probably wouldn't. I think originally I thought it might be the Musgrove start. Just because he's a guy that's always been consistent. And the big thing I want to talk about with Keller is, the dude gave up 1 run. He battled through. He did what he needed to do, but I'm not going to overplay it. I'm just going to be honest about it. The guy wasn't making his mark. The guy was not, his pitches were off. His velocity was down. He wasn't getting the swing and miss. So my thing is last year, I feel like he was unlucky. And everybody's seen that with the ERA versus the FIP. I mean, it's like out there everywhere. Pretty sure Ben Lindbergh over at he did an article, a whole thing on it. Like, this to me was lucky the other way. So you were unlucky giving, you know, what happened last year. You're lucky to get out of what you got out of this time, because the guy was not throwing strikes. He was not finding the zone. He was not finding his spot. So to me, yeah, it was a win. He battled through it. But if you're looking for this guy to be the pitcher of your future, you need to have less of that unlucky stuff and lucky stuff. And you need to have more of in the middle, where you're just good and do what you need to do.
Okay, but here's the thing. You're sitting there calling it luck. I would call it luck if he was putting on a bunch of guys every inning. He pitches five innings. He only puts five guys on base. That's a whip of 1.00. That doesn't suggest complete luck to me, because even if you think that he labored or something like that, the fact that he put on an average of one, not one point something or other, but yeah, one even every inning for five innings, that's not complete pure luck. He just didn't give them an opportunity to get guys around and to score, because he wasn't putting guys on either through the walk or the hit. He gives up two hits only. He walks three. I know you want to say, well, it's absolute luck, but he only gives up one earned run there. I mean, maybe he doesn't get you the strikeouts you want. He only has two over the five innings, so he's not dominant. He's not Nick Birdie coming out of the bullpen striking out all three in the ninth.
Absolutely.
He's not doing that. That, which, by the way, was awesome.
Oh, it's amazing to see.
That's got to, as a Pirates fan, that's got to get you up just throwing your fist out in the air and say, yeah! Because that just gives you tingles watching Nick Birdie go out there and do that in the ninth inning. But I wouldn't say he was a complete failure, completely lucky in that game.
Okay, I can see that, Chris. I'll you know, concede to that to a decent degree, you know. But my thing is that to me, like, the stuff wasn't there. So I hate when people, you know, give credit for like a phenomenal start. Like, yeah, it was a good start, but don't go over the rails and say it was something that was more than it was. It was a good start. Like, it was something that you can, that I was happy with. And if there wasn't a misplay by Colin Moran, or, you know, he maybe should have read where Colin Moran was going and should have been able to cover the base, I mean, he'd have no runs. But I think that, like, a lot of times I'm just trying to, I don't know, ground Pirates fans to basically say, like, don't put all your faith in what this person can become. Just put your faith in what they are from start to start. And then I think that's where I was going with that. And I maybe if it wasn't like lucky on that end, to me, he didn't have everything that he's had previously. And it was something I wanted to see. So I might've been a little bit disappointed.
So Polanco's back after having the COVID, right? He had it, yeah, right? Now he's back. So yeah. Ozuna's been playing right field, but we have this universal DH. So tonight, Polanco DHs, as we're recording here on Monday night.
Yes.
Does Ozuna, is he doing well enough in your mind that he continues to stand out in right field? Do you think that's a normal thing, or do you think that once Polanco gets his legs underneath him and he feels fully recovered and he's not got any lingering effects and he's like, Coach, I'm good. I've worked out. I've had a little bit of rest. I don't feel like I'm winded or anything like that. I'm completely back from this thing. You know, take the reins off. Does Polanco move back into right field?
I mean, Polanco is going to be the full-time right fielder. I mean, that's like, in my eyes, if he's healthy, without question, he's probably going to be there. I mean, you could move him in DH at some point. You could move, you know, Jose Osuna out there, which actually right field's not his strongest position. First base and third base are. But I think that Jose Osuna, that's like one of the biggest things for me, is he's kind of earned a spot in the lineup. I don't know where you fit him in at, but he's a guy that can play multiple positions. So, I mean, you can either have him at DH, first base, third base, or right field, especially with the flexibility that DH gives you. Because I feel like you're going to be moving maybe Moran in there at times. You're going to be moving Polanco in there at times, Bell in there at times, and Ozuna could be in there at times. So those, I mean, you've got three positions. You've got four players. Unfortunately, or fortunately to a fact, they've gotten Phillip Evans, who's kind of showed off in spring training. He showed off in summer camp. he had a good game on Sunday, went 3-for-4. He's actually a decent ball player. It kind of throws a little bit of a wrench into what may have been the Pirates' normal plan. Because if you have four guys, three positions, which would, it would be, like I said, with Ozuna, with Moran, with Polanco and Bell, you could kind of rotate those around and one of those guys could be DH for a second. But then now, you know, Philip Evans is making a play for time. And I know that he was one of those, you know, minor league free agents that was signed. But he's a guy that's had, you know, probably around like 15 to 20 home runs the past 2 years for the Mets, for the Cubs. And I know it's the, I think it was the PCL. So that's like a home run friendly. It's not like you're playing the Florida State League or anything. It's a home run friendly league. But he has always performed well. So you're trying to find time for him. So he's kind of like knocking into that. I think I'm rambling a little bit, but it's too hard to kind of explain just because in a regular season, I don't even believe Philip Evans, even if he shows up in spring training, even if he shows up in summer camp, that he makes this team. He probably is in the 30 man right now. He probably would have been a depth option, you know, whether it was justified or not, just because there's been some guys like Jose Ozuna that has stepped up and probably deserves the spot there as well. So it's a guy that's like kind of like filling in and it's like, thank you for your time. But in a regular season, but now we have to deal with, you know, the 30 man, the you know, 28 man, the 26 man as to whether stuff would happen. But I mean, Jose Ozuna right now, I mean, he got the two RBIs on a single back up the middle, trying to get us back into the game. He had a absolute bomb of a home run on Sunday. And he's a guy that, I mean, I look at to hit like 265, 270 and 20 bombs in like a regular season and would probably be a fairly steady presence in a lineup. But with Polanco coming back right now, I think they're going to kind of try to see what he has. And he probably will take right field most times.
As we get out of here, we have really good management of pitchers because the rain delay, you don't send Brault out again. You get the one-run lead because of with Kyle Moran, okay, knocking one out. And then you go on and you get Chad Kuhl, and you put him out there, and he has just gone out and gone 1-2-3, I think, in the first two innings.
Yeah.
I believe that's what he's just done. Or no, did he give up a hit the third guy that he got up there?
I think he did, yeah. He did.
Well, he got the first two guys. Managers have to manage this understanding that not every pitcher is supposed to go five innings now. Not every pitcher needs to go the distance. Use that crazy depth in your bullpen. You know, go nuts with it because you don't need to go and march Brault out there in case he's cold. Be like, nope, we're good. You just get back in the line. We'll get you out there pitching sometime soon, young man. We got plenty of pitchers. And that's what the Pirates are doing, at least tonight against the Brewers. It'll be interesting to see how this game ends up. My friend, that's it. That's 30 minutes of Bucks baseball. We've already run out of time. I've got some things I got to teach you afterwards, folks. Craig wants to start going live again on the Podbean app and taking phone calls from all of you and being live talking Bucks baseball. So make sure that if you're subscribed, you also have the free Podbean app and you're subscribed through that. I don't care if you got Apple Podcasts or whatever. It's one more free app. Just throw it on your phone and subscribe because when he goes live, it'll give you a notification and he's up live. You click on the live room. You can hit a little button. You can talk to him. You can go in the live chat room. You can have some fun. I know he's got a few guests that want to start doing it, so I'm giving a little tutorial here after the show because he's going to be handling the live shows. Me, I'll be around with Craig each and every Tuesday for Bucks in the Basement. It is found everywhere. Podcasts can be found and always at bucksinthebasement.com.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but they